Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining me on this gray Tuesday afternoon. But it is Tuesday afternoon, and that means I am joined by our friend Adam Bunch. He's an award-winning author, storyteller, and historian, and he joins us here on The Rush every Tuesday at 3:20 for his segment called Weird Toronto History. Hey, Adam.
Hello.
So this week we are talking about big fires in Toronto's history.
Yeah, there are two sort of massive blazes that both are called the Great Fire. And both of them happened in April, which is maybe not a coincidence. It's a very blustery month where flames can get blown really easily from one building to the next. The first one is way back, is 175 years ago this month, and that's the Great Fire of 1849. And this is back at a time when Toronto's still really kind of a frontier town in a lot of ways. There are, I think, 20, maybe 30,000 people living here back then. The first railroad hasn't been built yet, and it's really a small place, and a small wooden place in particular. It's filled with wooden buildings and wooden sidewalks, lots of stables, lots of hay, and that becomes a big problem on this April night when the blaze starts. We're not entirely sure why, maybe smoking or a lantern. Jamie Bradburn recently wrote a great article about it for TVO, where he examines some of what happened next, which is that the flames really caught on very quickly. You've got this sort of wooden downtown core, which is all on King Street East back then. That was the main street back in the 1800s. So right around King and Jarvis, not far from the St. Lawrence Market. The fire starts at 1 a.m. and it spreads really quickly, in part because the city doesn't really have much infrastructure to fight it with. The city only has four fire engines. The water pressure is really poor, so getting water out of the hoses is a problem. There's a warning system, which is you're supposed to ring the bells of the old St. James Cathedral, but that door is kept locked, and the keys are kept at City Hall. So if you see the fire, you have to run to City Hall, get the keys, run back to the cathedral, open the door, ring the bells, alert the fire brigades, who then have to come to the fire and then don't have enough water pressure to fight it. So within a couple of hours, it spread all around that neighborhood. So everything around King and Jarvis is on fire, including the old St. James Cathedral itself. It consumes really the core of the city. And it's only thanks to the fact that if there's a bit of rain and the wind happens to blow in the right direction for a while, and the fact that they eventually call in troops from Fort York to help try to put it out, that the thing finally does get quenched, I think 5 hours later, sort of in the very early morning. And both great fires only claim a single life. And the Great Fire of 1849, it's this newspaper publisher, this guy, Richard Watson. He's been running the Upper Canada Gazette for a while. But when the flames break out, he decides to try to help a rival newspaper, The Patriot. So while The Patriot's office building is burning, he runs all the way up the stairs to the top floor, I think, where The Patriot offices are, trying to save their business by saving the little metal type letters that you'd use on printing presses. Someone calls after him to leave the building. He says, "No, I've still got time." But in fact, he doesn't. The floor seems to have given way under him. And no one realized at first that he had died. It wasn't until he didn't come home and then they found his body in sort of the charred ruins of downtown that people realized he had died. And in the wake of the fire, there's a big rebuilding project, new laws brought in about fire regulation. And we get some of the old landmarks of Toronto that we still love today, right along that stretch of King Street. It's when St. Lawrence Hall gets built, where a bit of the St. Lawrence Market had been burned down. And we get the new St. James Cathedral, which is the same building that's still there today.
So the original St. James Cathedral that you said folks were supposed to go in and ring the bells, was it a wooden structure at the time, or was some of it a little bit more like the St. James Cathedral we see today?
That's a good question. I think it was quite wooden. There had been sort of a series of churches built on that corner, right at King and Church, because it's where the church was. The first one was just like a little log cabin, basically, in the very early 1800s. They built a bigger one to replace it that had also burned down, and then built this new one that was at least flammable enough that it was completely consumed. In fact, some people called it the Cathedral Fire. And when they rebuilt in this grand style, this big, very fire-resistant church that we have today. Was a big building project for Toronto at the time. The church spire, even today, is the second tallest church spire anywhere in North America. There's just one in New York bigger than it.
So that was the first great fire of our fair city, 1849. A second one, not that many years later, 1904.
Yeah, they brought in all these new regulations, but it didn't keep a second fire from happening. So when people talk about the Great Fire of Toronto, they usually mean the one that broke out in 1904. And it broke out around Bay and Wellington. So right in the heart of what is now the financial district. Same thing, a blustery April night. It was 120 years ago, just this last weekend, that a police officer on his beat noticed the smoke and the flames. And it was, again, bad luck that it was in a neighborhood that was filled with perfect fuel, because back then that core was filled with factories and textile manufacturers, bookbinders. So that fire again spread incredibly quickly. By now, Toronto had more firefighters, and every firefighter in the city rushed in to try to fight off the flames. In fact, it's the very earliest filmed footage that we know of in the history of the city was taken that night of the firefighters and of the flames. You can actually go watch it on YouTube if you search the Great Fire of 1904. And when those firefighters weren't enough, firefighters actually came in from neighboring cities, from places like Hamilton and Buffalo. By the dead of the night, it was 250 of them fighting the fires, but it was also incredibly difficult. Another windy night, so cold that their water was freezing in midair, tangles of telegraph and telephone wires all over the place. So it took, again, hours and hours before they managed to get it under control. By then, 100 buildings had been destroyed, which meant thousands of people were out of work. That whole core, everything from sort of Wellington over to Yonge and the Esplanade up, from Bay over to Yonge and the Esplanade up to Wellington, most of that was all gone. It would take years to rebuild, lots of it rebuilding with bricks from the Don Valley Brickworks. And it too had sort of one strange death. Miraculously, no one had died during the fire itself. But in the wake of it, there were all these ruins downtown. There were fires springing up from time to time as they sort of smoldered and smoked and for a couple of weeks. And they had to bring in teams of demolition experts so that they could set explosives to bring down those ruins, these facades that were left standing there in a controlled fashion. One of those dynamiters was a guy named John Croft, who had a ton of experience doing it. They had a very, very familiar system to them. You can actually see it in some of that film footage that they set the dynamite and then have a very long fuse and go in and set the fuse and then run away to safety before the fuse has time to burn down and blow it up. But one of these fuses seemed not to work. The explosion didn't happen. So John Croft went in to investigate, and that's when the dynamite blew up and killed John Croft. He had horrible wounds that he wouldn't ever recover from. So the one life claimed by that great fire was the dynamiter in the days after. In fact, we have a little street, a laneway near Bathurst and College, named in his honor to this day.
That is Adam Bunch sharing some Toronto history with us, as he does every Tuesday right here on The Rush. Thanks so much, Adam.
Always delighted to do it.
Coming up after the break, we'll get a preview of the CTV News at 6.